Lauren Baker, and welcome back to the Kitchen Confidant podcast. Today, we're chatting with Christy Alia of Real Clever Food. She is a dedicated pizzaiola, pizza maker, sourdough bread baker, instructor and recipe developer, and founder of Women's Pizza Month, a community and celebration behind the iconic food and the women in our lives. This year, she has teamed up with Cordo Olive Company and Stanislaw Tomatoes to help us all celebrate at home. Welcome to the podcast, Christy.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited, especially now that it's March. It's Women's History Month and Women's Pizza Month, so I'm excited.
What an awesome month. I had no idea there was a Women's Pizza Month, but we're going to talk about that. I always start by asking, what's the first thing that you ever cooked and about how old were you?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I started really young. I mean, I'm going to go with pasta because I come from an Italian-American family and that was like on the table every day. So I'm going to assume I probably made pasta maybe with broccoli and pecorino romano. That was like a regular staple along with some olive oil. Yeah, that's my guess.
Oh, I love it. Pasta is a great place to start. How about how old were you, would you say?
Probably seven, maybe. Yeah, I started pretty young.
I think seven is like the perfect age. You've got manual dexterity. You have a little bit of, I guess just your knowledge is a little bit better. You know what you're doing. You know how to copy. That's a great place to start.
I think so. Yeah, that's when I started with my two boys as well. It's like for the same reasons that you said. Plus, you know, it's the right age too. At least I'm a little bit, you know, not that tall. So it was like the age where I could actually see over the countertop for sure too.
That's true. Just that little fact makes a huge difference. Would you tell everyone a bit about yourself and how did you become a master pizzaiola?
I started out actually just learning from watching, like we were just talking about, as a little girl from my grandfather, my Sicilian grandfather. He taught me how to make bread, pizza, and all kinds of Italian foods. And it started with that. So pizza has always been a part of my life. And as far as my background right now, I'm a pizza instructor. I also have done consultations for pizza cookbooks. That's my passion, is teaching and educating people with regard to pizza. I have the Instagram blog page, Real Clever Food, which that's where a lot of this really exploded from. But my passion is also to do fundraising through Slice Out Hunger. So, I mean, all kinds of things that go circle around pizza. My life has been pretty pizza-centric for the last few years.
So when you started Real Clever Food, was it pizza out the gate or was it all foods?
It was mostly pizza, but there were different varieties of foods, which is no longer the case anymore. People only wanted to see pizza. So my page became a pizza page.
It's funny how that happens. You realize what your audiences gravitate to and you just embraced it. And pizza, who doesn't love pizza?
And the best thing, and this is part of Women's Pizza Month, is showing people that you could put pretty much anything on a pizza. So I get to demonstrate my other culinary skills with pizza.
Do you have culinary training?
Not any formal. Learned, like I said, from family and also self-taught. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So what was the inspiration behind Women's Pizza Month? It's only a couple years old, as I understand it.
I created it in 2021 as a global pizza party on Instagram to basically celebrate women. And part of the reason I created that was because I noticed that women were underrepresented and underrecognized for their significant contributions to our lives and the pizza world specifically. So I told people on Instagram, create a pizza, dedicate it to a woman who inspires you and tell us why. And I use that as a platform to educate people on those contributions of women pizza pioneers in the pizza world. So it's been amazing because I was able to highlight people like Sarah Minnick, who now people might know about her because she was recently featured on Netflix's Chef's Table. Mm-hmm. But when I first featured her in 2021, people were like, oh my goodness, I had no idea who she was. And that to me was sad because Sarah's a hero of mine. She forages for sting nettles. If you were on her page in the last week, you would have seen her in the woods getting the sting nettles for her pizza. She uses fig leaves, not figs, on her pizza. I mean, she really transformed the way we look at pizza And there are other people like Ann Kim, who is a Korean American chef who I've highlighted, also was on Netflix's Chef Table. Check those out if you haven't already. But she was one of the first to put kimchi on pizza, which blew people's minds. But it's not just that. I mean, she just basically opened our minds to all the limitless possibilities when it came to pizza. She has a pizza with pickles and potato chips, which was inspired by fried pickles she saw at a local fair. Like, how cool is that?
That's super cool. I love the innovation that women are bringing to it. Well, maybe you can describe to us how pizza, the art of pizza making, has been traditionally handed down from generation to generation. And have women been a part of that overall, and that we just don't know about it? Like, what do we need to know here?
Absolutely. I mean, even though I learned from my grandfather learned from his mother and his grandmother, I'm sorry. And if the traditional grandma pizza that got super popular in Queens, where you said you were from, you know, that originated, you know, with women who are making pizza at home, and the best way to make pizza at home were on sheet pans, which turned out to be the grandma pizza. That was, women were behind that. Even the Chicago deep dish pizza, which, whether you're a fan or not, I learned that a woman was behind that. Yeah. And people don't know that. And the artisan pizza movement now, like, a lot of the cool ideas have come from who I think is the OG of pizza, is Nancy Silverton, who people associate only with sourdough bread. But in fact, she has been a huge pioneer when it came to pizza. Like, for example, recently, Dan Richer released The Joy of Pizza, which is a fantastic book. And when it came out, people went crazy about the use of cream on pizza. Like, Instagram exploded about that. Meanwhile, Nancy put cream on pizza over a decade ago. So this is why Women's Pizza Month exists, to highlight so many cool things women have been doing in pizza. And I think they were the pioneers in a lot of the cool things that we see today.
Yeah, I think it's a shame that we don't know more about that, or we don't hear about it. I know growing up in New York, it just always seemed that you go into your local pizzeria and it was always men behind the counter. You never saw a woman, you know, doing the pizza dough and serving, you know, dealing with the big oven. And so I think it's really cool that you're highlighting this. And so what is it, do you think, that makes, I think I know what it is, but what is it about pizza that is so uniting? Because I think that's what makes this month so fun.
I like to say that there's a pizza for everybody, whether you're vegan, gluten-free, there's a pizza for you. I mean, I can't see someone not liking pizza. You know, if you don't like bread, you can make pizza with something else, the base of it. You know, I mean, I know some people are more strict as to what they define as pizza, but in my opinion, there truly is a pizza for everyone, and it's the most beloved food. So why not celebrate women in March with pizza? And that's why I'm also excited, you know, that, like you said, I teamed up with Stanislaw and Cordo, you know, because in my opinion, no matter what pizza you like, you're going to have a better pizza if you use the best ingredients. And in my opinion, Cordo and Stanislaw are offering those best ingredients, and we got to celebrate the best with the best with actually the pizza kit that's sitting behind me.
Yeah, that's the perfect segue. I wanted to know exactly how Cordo and Stanislaw are getting involved, and what is this pizza kit? Like, is this something that anyone can get?
Yeah, you could go on Cordo's website. It's cordo-olive.com. And if you go under Pizza Kit, you'll see the pizza kit there and be able to read about it. But what's really super and unique about the pizza kit is, yes, the olive oil had been available to the public. I mean, it's the freshest olive oil you can get. Like, in my opinion, like, there's nothing fresher out there. I've been to their mill. They literally harvest olives at the peak of freshness and get those into bottles as soon as possible, avoiding light, oxygen, you know, anything that's going to ruin the freshness of the olives. They do the ultimate job of making sure that it tastes as fresh as possible when you use it. But the really special part is the tomatoes that they put in this kit. Like, when I first got the Datarini tomatoes in the jar, I was like, oh, these are cute, but you taste them. I mean, you don't need to do anything. Right from the jar, they are a flavor explosion. So all you have to do, if you want to make the best pizza sauce, is just crush them and put them on the pizza. You don't even need to add salt and olive oil. I like to do that, but yeah. I'm not kidding. I've had tomatoes from Italy, Spain, and these, you know, people's backyards. These to me were probably the best tomatoes I ever had.
So basically just smash it up with a fork and spread it on.
Or your hands get dirty.
Or your hands.
That's even what better. Making some out. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Cordo is great. I buy it by the box full. Actually, they have been a guest on this podcast. So if anyone's interested, just go back and listen to that episode with Cordo because you'll learn everything about olive oil. So I think this is such a great partnership for you guys. And I hear that there's a scholarship opportunity as well.
Yeah, that's the really super, super exciting part is basically the goal of Women's Pizza Month is to raise, you know, awareness about the women's contributions. But we also, like you said, you usually see guys behind the counter or men owning pizzerias. We want to help women who always dreamed about opening their own pizza businesses achieve that by sending them to Pizza University. So we're giving 5 women pizza makers scholarships to Pizza University so that they could learn and equip themselves with the knowledge and tools to open those businesses. So I'm super, super excited about that. And that you can find a scholarship link also under the pizza kit. And there's no purchase necessary. It's really easy to apply. So whether you're interested in, you know, opening your own pizza business or you know someone that is, like, I encourage you to sign up.
Oh, that's such a great opportunity. Okay. Where is Pizza University? How many are there in the world?
I think there's only one, at least one main one in Maryland. I know the founder behind it is associated, you know, with an Italian pizza oven company, which originated in Italy. He's from Italy. You know, he's taking the knowledge that he has from his Italian heritage, but he's also applying it to the important parts of, you know, being owning a pizzeria here in the United States. So they have cool pizza makers, Leah Skirto, who's a pizza champion, Laura Myers, they're doing pizza classes there. They bring people up from Italy. So whatever interests these women, where the knowledge that they want to get, they're going to get at Pizza University. So I'm super excited about that.
Oh my gosh. I think that sounds so fun. I think everyone would want to go if they could.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, let's talk pizza tips, specifically dough. Can you describe for us the perfect pizza dough?
When it comes to pizza dough, I mean, I learned from using yeast from my grandfather. We went on to poulish, which is a pre-ferment using yeast. And now I use sourdough. But the best pizza dough is going to be the one you make with your own hands. Forget a mixer. You don't need one. I actually recommend you don't use a mixer when you're first making pizza. And, you know, you start with basically a basic recipe. It should just be flour, water, salt, and either yeast or sourdough starter. And time and temperature. Those are the most important ingredients. And the tricky part with that is people want a recipe that's going to tell them ferment it for 2 hours, ferment it. You need to watch it. Basically, your temperature in your house or the humidity in your house is not going to be the same as mine. So what I like to do, because I teach pizza classes, is I like to get people in touch with their dough. So when you first mix those ingredients up, you're looking for maybe 25%, you know, expansion of that dough. Before, you know, a lot of people are tucking it into the refrigerator as soon as they mix it up and they're like, why is my dough not doing anything? It's because you need to give it a little bit of time. And then when you use that pizza dough, it should be at room temperature. It shouldn't be cold because, you know, just like if you have any experience with bread, it's not going to have, you know, it's not going to be able to stretch. Like a lot of people are like, why when I stretch my dough, does it spring back? It's because it's probably cold or it hasn't fermented enough. Like gluten is very tight. You have to let it relax to be able to stretch it out. So a lot of it has to do with time and temperature. And
yeah.
A lot of people forget those important ingredients.
Yeah, the gluten is very tricky. Whenever, even if you just reshape it, it just needs time to relax again before you can, you know, reform it again. In terms of yeast versus sourdough, and obviously I know that you probably prefer the sourdough, but is it still possible to get decent dough with yeast?
Absolutely. When I don't use sourdough, I do use yeast and I'll make a poolish, but you don't even need to. A few pizza makers, you know, that I really admire, we all like to say that use as little yeast as necessary. So, I mean, we're talking like less than a gram, whereas most pizza recipes are using like a whole packet of yeast, which is might be like 4 to 7 grams. Like if you can use like half a gram or less for your pizza recipe and really let time do its thing, you're going to have a better fermentation, better color. People are like, how do you get the great coloring on your pizza? that's fermentation. It's not any magic tricks. Yes, a high heat pizza oven does help, mm-hmm. but you need to release those sugars from the flour, and that happens with time.
Okay. So yeah, I guess a lot of recipes caters to the impatience of cooks. I'm included. And so you're going to want to use more yeast in that, but you're recommending just let the time do it. That way you can use less yeast, which makes complete sense. Okay. My question though, in terms of fermentation, is like, is there a point of no return? Like I know that people have gotten to, you know, sometimes you get like a bag of pizza dough from, let's say, the grocery store, or maybe you've made it on your own and you've stored it, you've frozen it, whatever. And then it looks like it's over fermented in the bag. Like it's just popping out. Is that a bad thing? Can it still be used?
I mean, I like to say that, you know, it, unless it's looking really funky and has like an alcoholic, like maybe smell or taste, don't waste it. I actually have had really a lot of fun taking overproof pizza dough and rolling it out into like a cracker thin like pizza. And it works great because hand stretching it, yeah, you might get tearing, but with a rolling pin, the dough could be very forgiving. So put a lot, you know, put a good amount of flour on your countertop and roll that out super, super thin. And I guarantee you're going to have a really good pizza and you're going to be happy you didn't throw that dough away.
Okay. That's encouraging. Okay. And then in terms of flour, are you using 00 flour? Like, does it matter to you, or is all purpose okay?
I go back and forth on this. I feel like depends on what you're trying to achieve. Like when I'm trying to make more of a New York style dough, I'm not using a 00 flour because I want more of a chew. So I'm using something more like a bread flour that you'll find. But I really do believe that, you know, you should use the ingredients that you can get. Like if you could get a local flour, like my favorite thing to do is even if I use a 00 flour from Italy, I always, almost always use a local like spelt or rye just because it gives it extra flavor. And I try to use local ingredients whenever I can. So if you have like an artisan flour mill near your area, you can make pizza with that. There's been some amazing pizzas made just using whole grain flours. You just need to know how to work with them. But there's no reason why you can't make a pizza with any type of flour.
Okay. So now I want to know, what are your go-to toppings for your pizzas?
That's constantly changing right now during Women's Pizza Month. I'm loving this kit that Cordo made. I mean, those tomatoes, like I said, are absolutely amazing. So I'll say a margarita. I mean, you can't go wrong, especially when you have amazing tomatoes, amazing olive oil, fresh basil, fresh mozzarella, and a good dough. Like it's the ultimate comfort food for me. So I'll say a margarita pizza.
That's a good answer, especially because everyone can make it with the kit. So that makes it super easy. Yeah. Even just a drizzle of olive oil at the very end is also just a nice way to finish it too.
It's everything. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it's for pop of flavor, you know, just even a little bit of salt. I feel like that's a key to any cooking is making sure you have enough salt on your pizza or food.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I know you're an Uni fan, the pizza oven.
Yes. I'm an Uni ambassador. Yep.
Yes. For someone who doesn't have a pizza oven and wants to add it to their arsenal, what should they consider?
My favorite recommendation for most people who are looking for a pizza oven is the Uni Coda 16 because it's still probably the best value. And I'm not saying that just because I'm an Uni ambassador, but I mean, you get a 16-inch oven, which is a lot of space because most personal pizzas that you're making at home are 12 to 14 inches. So you have a lot of space to work with. And it's a reasonable price. It's propane gas, which is very manageable for most people. It was my first Uni oven, in fact, and it's still my favorite oven. And it seems to be most people's favorite ovens. People use them for businesses and they're just beloved ovens. So that would be my recommendation, but you don't need a pizza oven. I mean, you can make good pizza in your home oven. So if you don't have a pizza oven, that shouldn't stop you from participating in Women's Pizza Month or making a pizza. Like I will make pizza in my home oven. You could use a pizza steel. Those have been like the go-tos for people who want to make pizza in a home oven, and they can make almost as good as using a pizza oven outside.
Yeah. I have a little trick of one time I was moving and my pizza stone totally just cracked on me. So I started using the largest Le Creuset I have just to get that little bit of crust on the bottom. It really made a huge difference. Of course, you can't make a huge one, but It helps in a pinch. So I recommend for people to try that too.
Absolutely. Use what you have. You want to use something that's probably heavy, that retains heat, but cast iron pizzas. Like I've made some great pizzas in a cast iron pan. Like you can make good pizza with what you have probably. So there's no need to go out and buy something special. But if you're really getting into pizza, like, you know, you kind of get the bug. And, you know, that's why I said like the Uni pizza ovens are super fun to going to that next level, but it's not necessary unless you're ready for that.
Yeah. The propane makes it nice and easy because you're not dealing with an open flame. You're not having to regulate the temperature with wood and all those little headaches that we don't need when we're busy.
Yeah. I mean, wood is a romantic thing, but it's also an extra challenge. I mean, again, you know, if you're looking for a challenge, you know, the wood fire is fun, but if you're just starting out, you know, I recommend you stick with the propane.
Yeah. Okay. So you've mentioned some of the women in the pizza industry that you look up to, and who are the women personally in your life that have really made a huge difference for you?
You know what? My mother, I have to, you know, thank my mother. She's always part of, you know, I guess she's always been super generous with her knowledge, and she has a lot of passion, you know, a lot of energy. Networking has been important to her. So that's also like part of what Women's Pizza Month is about. Like a lot of women might not know who they need to contact or who they can contact to get information in this pizza community. And I like to consider myself a facilitator. If I don't have the answers, like I usually can find somebody that can help them. And that's my favorite thing. I've met so many amazing women pizza makers, and I was able to help them through my network. So I have to, you know, thank my mother for that. Like, you know, teaching me the importance of community and networking. I also, you know, want to thank, you know, the women of Uni, you know, they've been super supportive of my journey. The women at Cordo and Stanislaw, like Amy and Lisa and Peaches, like amazing, amazing women, you know, like the company is fantastic, but the people behind that company, you know, and I'm not saying that, I don't get paid to say that, like they truly are amazing people, and I've been blown away by their support.
Yeah. Well, food people are good people in general, I think. And it's just so easy to connect when you have this shared love. So I am so glad that you're sharing your love for pizza. How can we at home participate in Women's Pizza Month?
So you make a pizza, any pizza you want. And I'd like you to think about a woman who inspires you and dedicate that pizza to that woman. And, you know, tell us why. And you're going to post on Instagram. You're going to tag Women's Pizza Month. You could tag me at Real Clara Food. I'd love to see your pizza. Mm-hmm. And if you use the kit, you could tag Cordo Olive and Stanislaw Tomatoes. And we'll all celebrate that woman and also you as a pizza maker. And this is for everyone. We want men, women, everyone to get involved with this. So this, it's a literally a global pizza party. I like to call it the biggest pizza party ever, because not only is everyone invited, we're celebrating half the population who are women. And it's the one of the longest months of the year. It goes from the beginning of March all the way to the end. So you got plenty of time.
Oh, good. Yeah. As of recording, it's March 5th. So hopefully by the time everyone hears this, they'll go scramble to their kitchens and whip up a pizza and share with everybody. And I'm excited. I can't wait to think about what I'm going to put on mine. So before I let you go, Christy, I just have a few closing questions. What's something that you make when you're too tired to cook and you just need an emergency meal?
That's a tough one. I usually have frozen pizza. Does that count?
Of course. I was wondering if pizza was going to be the answer. I mean, not that it has to be, but
it's always the answer.
Yeah. Pizza is my go-to on Fridays. So I know that if it's a Friday, my answer will probably be pizza. What's the one recipe that you treasure the most?
That might have to be, actually, it sounds pretty basic, but my grandfather would make broccoli rabe sauteed in garlic olive oil. It's super simple, but he made that every single weekend. And to me, that always reminds me so much of him. So I'd say that's what I treasure the most.
Oh, are you a messy cook or a neat cook?
Depends. But I do like to get messy, but I also like to stay organized. So I'll make a mess and then I'll clean up as I go.
Yeah. I'm pretty much the same way. What's a good kitchen tip that you can share with everyone?
get all your ingredients organized and ready, especially when it comes to pizza. A lot of people are like, why is my pizza dough sticking to the peel? And because, you know, they're taking their time working with ingredients. If you have everything ready, that's going to happen a lot quicker. You don't want to leave a pizza with toppings just sitting there. You know, you have the sauce, but oh no, you didn't prepare the cheese. Like, prepare everything ahead of time. So that way you could work a little bit, you know, more, I guess, you know.
Yeah, digging into that a little bit. So once you put your sauce and your toppings, you don't want that to sit. You want to go straight into the oven as soon as possible.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Especially when you're using sauce. I mean, a Bianco white-based pizza is going to be a little bit more forgiving because it's less moisture there. But yeah, you don't want it to sit too long because the dough is going to start to absorb that, you know, moisture, and you're going to have sticking issues.
Yes. Good tip. Now I'm craving pizza Bianco. Okay. Every week, so good. Every week I try to share five little things with my audience. Something that made me smile during the week. Is there anything that's made you smile recently?
Yeah, just seeing how excited that people are getting about Women's Pizza Month. Like, it's every year, you know, like women are getting excited about, you know, being recognized. Like, there are so many men actually making dedications to pizza women this month. And a lot of these women, like, they didn't think they were noticed. And like, they see, oh, wow, you know, someone did notice me. And they're being told that, you know, they were inspired. Like yesterday, there was a man named Jeff from Staglio Pizza. He made a dedication to a woman in Slovenia. Her name is Andra from the Holy Crust, who makes amazing pizza. And he did a dedication to her and making a beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous margarita pizza, actually using the Cordo kit. It was stunning and sweet dedication. So I love stuff like that.
Oh, that makes me smile too. That's so great. I love what you're doing, Christy. Where can everyone find you and keep in touch with all you're doing?
You can find me on Instagram at Real Clever Food. I'm always happy to answer questions. A lot of people are like, oh no, I don't want to bother you. It's never a bother. I love talking pizza. I could talk pizza all day long.
Awesome. Thank you, Christy, for spending time with me. And I can't wait to share my pizza with you.
It's been a pleasure, and I can't wait to see your pizza. I can't wait to see everybody's pizza and celebrate you as a pizza maker and all those inspiring women out there.
I'm guessing that you're craving a pizza right now, because I know I certainly am. Christy's passion for pizza is infectious. And after signing off, we were chatting about how we can celebrate Women's Pizza Month any time of the year. So if you make a pizza and tag it in April or whenever, she is there to celebrate right alongside you. Thanks again to Christy for inspiring us, and to you for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to rate it and share it with a friend, and join us again next time. Until then, happy pizza making.